Of our psalm tonight is about giving thanks. And so this hymn that we've just sung really does talk about giving thanks to the point of we're even going to be giving thanks in eternity. What an amazing thought that is. We will never run out of things to give thanks to God for. And all eternity will be too short to utter all thy praise. So today's psalm I've entitled Giving Thanks in Celebration. And let's read the psalm. The heading here in the Bible says, Thanksgiving for the Lord's saving goodness. And verse 1, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently, so I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So, this is giving thanks. And the context of this, some people feel that it is David finally victorious over his enemies. Other people look at it as maybe this was when King Hezekiah was restored to health and the enemies of Israel were defeated. But whoever it is, we can see that the Lord has worked for this person, and the person then is full of praise because of what the Lord has done. And the place where this takes place, if we look at verse 26 and 27, we have blessed you from the house of the Lord, and then bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. So it's literally taking place in that Temple Mount area in Zion. So that's the location. I choose to look at this from the perspective of David, because I think that probably makes the most sense. I think that as a result of David's victory, he's calling on all these groups of people to praise the Lord. Remember, this is something that he and others had been waiting for many years. David had been anointed, but it wasn't God's time for him yet. And now, finally, it's time. And there's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm over what God is going to do. And that's the way it should be for us when we've waited on the Lord and finally we see the fruition of that period of waiting. There's basically three categories of people that are addressed here. There's a general call in verses 1 and verse 29 to just give thanks to the Lord. And then there is a call to another group of people, and there's three subdivisions to that. There is Israel in verse 2, the house of Aaron in verse 3, and those who fear the Lord in verse 4. So that's a second group of people. And they give their response to what's going on in verses 23 through 27. And then we have the subject of this psalm, that I'm going to call him David, and he's giving his response from verses 5 through 21. Now, let's look at this general call that we see in verses 1 and 29. Why should everyone give thanks? Maybe you're like me sometimes and you fall into a little bit of despondency and you just feel down and you feel like, other people are experiencing the blessings of God, but maybe it's not my time. Maybe not much good is happening for me. And really, that's a sinful attitude that I have to get over. And we see that here. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? For he is good. It doesn't matter how I feel or what my perception of what is going on around me. God is good. That's all the cause, all the reason that we need to praise him. So that's the first thing. Everybody, no matter what they're going through, should praise God, should give thanks to him because he is good. The second thing is that he has a faithful love. He has a faithful love. His loving kindness, this is a quality of God that we don't have. Our love is hot, it's cold, it turns into hate, depending on what's going on around us. God isn't like that. And then thirdly, it endures forever. It's everlasting. It's never going to change. God's love for his people is never going to change. It will go on into eternity, as we just sung in that hymn. We'll still be praising him in eternity. We see in that second verses 2 through 4, a second category of people. First, there is Israel there, and then the house of Aaron. We could call them the ministers of God. And then finally, those who fear the Lord. We could even say that these represent Gentile believers. All of those groups of people, they are still to have the exact same response. Because they, if they've trusted in the Lord, they've experienced that same everlasting loving kindness of the Lord. So it doesn't matter what position you're in. You know, if you're from Israel, you're part of that promised group of people. You're even more special. You belong to Aaron. Or you're a Gentile who has become part of Israel for the sake of this song, you're still going to experience the same thing. So then we've got in verses 5 and following, David's reasons for thankfulness. Why is David thankful? And I came across 10 different things that David is thankful for. In verses 5 and 21, when he calls out to God when he's in trouble, God answers. It says, "For my distress I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me." In verse 21, "I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me." And this is so counter to what we may experience in the world. When we call out and there's nobody there to help us, or people don't understand how to help us, or they don't have the means to help us. But that isn't so with God. When we call out to Him in true belief, then He has all the means. He has all the power. And that is what David experienced here. In verse 5, we could say that David was in a tight spot, but the second part of that verse, "He set me in a large place." It's not just that God rescues you from a tight spot. He puts you in a much better place than you could ever have imagined. And that's what David experiences here. The second thing in verse 6, God is for him. So the first reason was when he called out, God answered. Second reason, God is for him. "The Lord is for me. I will not fear." And then the second part of that is, if God is for you, man is powerless. Man can't do anything to you. And this sentiment is repeated in the New Testament in Romans 8:31. There's no power that can come against us, because God is for us. Thirdly, in verse 7, "The Lord is for me among those who help me," or "the Lord is his helper." This is also repeated in 13, "But the Lord helped me." Imagine that. We're struggling to do something, and the Lord comes along and helps us. David knew that in his own power, he would never be king. Not in the way that God envisioned it. And he was patient enough to wait for God to come along and help him. And we'll see in the response that the people give that they recognize that everything that has happened has only happened because God allowed it and orchestrated it. In verses 8 and 9, number 4, God is his refuge. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord," he repeats twice. And then, of course, the opposite, "than to trust in man." And in case you're like, "Well, what about this really powerful, rich person? Maybe they could help me out." He says, "And not in princes either." And wasn't this what Israel was always tempted to go down to Egypt, because they've got many chariots, right? Israel was always tempted to not trust in the Lord and to trust in the armies of another nation. And they were also constantly warned against that. But here, David has realized that it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in somebody else. And we need to do the same. In verses 11 and 12, God destroys the wicked for us. "All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off." They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. "In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off." They surrounded me like bees. but they were extinguished as a fire of thorns. So I don't know if you've ever seen a swarm of bees. I used to be amazed. I look in the Guinness Book of World Records and there's this person totally covered with bees and you can only see their eyes. That's what David is picturing here. The forces that are against him are so tight on him. It's like that person in the book that's totally covered with bees. Yet, they were extinguished as a fire of thorns. Apparently, thorns burn quickly. And so that's the metaphor here. As dire as this situation seemed to be, that he was totally surrounded and there was no way out. Just like that, everything was burned up. The struggle that he was going through disappeared. The Lord defeated those enemies. And then in 14 through 16, we see that God is his strength. God is his strength. The Lord is my strength and song, we read there. In verse 16, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. So the right hand is the hand of strength for most people anyway. And when we see that metaphor in the Bible, that's the hand that you want fighting your battle for you. Don't want a right-handed person using their left hand because that's not going to be as effective. But the right hand is that position of strength, and God is his strength. And that's what we need to realize or to have in our lives. We're not strong ourselves. We're not strong because of the country we live in and their military or financial might. We're not strong because of anything outside of us. We're only strong because of God and the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. In verses 17 and 21, God is his salvation. This is his 7th reason for thankfulness. God is his salvation. I will not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. I shall give thanks to you, for you've answered me, and you have become my salvation. Everybody else in the world is dying. They have no hope. But David realizes he's going to live. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing for us to realize that? We will live. We will not die. Jesus has overcome death. He's defeated death. In verse 18, God's discipline leads to life, not death. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Even when it looks like we're being punished, that punishment is for our good. God brings trials, as we read about in James and other passages, and they're for our good. They're to make us into the people he wants us to be. They're to lead us to life. Because if we've wandered off of the path of salvation onto other paths, we need to be brought back by the Good Shepherd. And so here he recognizes that God's discipline, even though severe, is not unto death, but unto life. And in 19, God's discipline leads to righteousness and a desire to be in a place of righteousness. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. Having been disciplined, now he wants righteousness. And he's asking that the gate of righteousness be opened so he can go in. You don't want to go into a place you have no desire to be. Right? The gate of righteousness is the entrance to righteous living. Finally, in verse 21, he reiterates his thanks for salvation. And this is really the key of everything, of all his reasons, is that God is his salvation. And it should be our only and main reason for giving thanks. What's better than the salvation that we have in Christ? There is no other. So what is God's people's response or reason for thankfulness? If we look at verse 22, first of all, they recognize that David is the hope for their nation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. In the context of this psalm, whoever this leader is going to be a leader that's going to direct the nation back to where it needs to go. The cornerstone is that which helps the building develop the way it's supposed to. And of course, we see how each one of these points that these people respond with also corresponds to Christ. So just like David was the nation's hope, initially he was rejected, but then God made him the cornerstone. So Christ is our hope and cornerstone. This verse has been quoted many times in the New Testament, in 1 Peter and Mark, Matthew, Acts. It's a very key point. We need Christ to be the cornerstone, to be the block that sets the building of the church. Christ is also our hope, just like David was the nation's hope, because he would lead them back away from the direction that Saul had taken them into the direction that they should go. So Christ is our hope because he's the only perfect one that we can follow. In verse 23, they recognize that this has happened because the Lord has done it. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Another way to put that, God did it and we love it. Remember, if this is David, they've just finished fighting a civil war. Saul and all his family have been killed. And this is what they're talking about here. The restoration back to the right path is such an important thing that despite all of that trouble that they had, they can be joyful because they can see that God's hand was in this. We think of the restoration of Israel that Isaiah talks about and how wonderful that will be. And everything that is under the curse is set right and is perfect. Our salvation is the work and plan of God. Christ was sent by God. We read about that in Galatians 4:4 through 7. In verse 24, we see that they recognize that God made this day of celebration. And that is another reason why they should be thankful and rejoice. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As I read these verses, I just think about so many songs that have come out of the joy of these verses. Let's remember that God has also set aside time for us to reflect on Christ. We call it Sunday. He set aside a time of celebration we call the Lord's Supper. It wasn't just the people reading this psalm that could say, "This is the day." We can say it as well. In verses 25 and 26, David is declared blessed. These people recognize that the one who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. Again, this is a quotation that's used to refer to Christ. We know Christ came in the name of the Lord, Matthew 23:39, and that he was sent from God, Ephesians 1:3. And they, in turn, are in the house of the Lord, and they bless David. They give a blessing back because they recognize the blessing that God has given to them. How excited are we by the blessings that God has given to us, especially the blessing we have in Christ? Are we as excited? Remember, they're in the house of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is there. But yet, they recognize David coming. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Finally, in verse 27, their response is to bring an offering. David has brought an offering. He's brought a sacrifice of praise to the Lord, and it is now to be bound to the altar. Why? Because God has given us light. Think about that. The people have been living in darkness, but now they have seen the great light. Those prophetic words that were fulfilled in Christ, they also had a little bit of that in this verse. Of course, we learned on Sunday that Christ brings himself. He is the perfect offering, the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. And so if these people were thankful because they now had David as king, how much more thankful should we be? The perfect sacrifice, the perfect atonement, the perfect king who will establish the perfect kingdom. In conclusion, although everyone has a reason to give thanks to God, as believers we have a much clearer and focused understanding and should thank God no matter what situation we find ourselves in, because we understand that he is our salvation, that Christ is our cornerstone, that the Holy Spirit of God is in us, and the only success that we can have is that which is orchestrated by God. So, as I started off, I felt sometimes that I don't act the way I should. I let what's going on around me affect the way I feel about what's happening in my life. And it steals my joy, because I'm not able to recognize the goodness of God in my life. And the psalmist says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting." We can bank on that. We can ignore the whispers of the world and bank on the promises of God. Any questions?